But how do I turn off this Andy Griffith rerun here? You know what I like about this church? Except one thing I'm concerned, you're adding books to Romans. I don't know if you noticed that there. Romans 18:8. I go, something looks wrong about that reference up there, but I understand. You'll probably look at my handout and say, something's wrong with that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I am delighted to be here today. I am thrilled. We're going to look at verse 15 to start with. 2 Corinthians 12:15, and this is a verse that we used all summer long. And the first half of it says this, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. About a week and a half, Pastor Sean sent me a text and said, we need to get you up to Itasca and share. I didn't answer him for about 4 or 5 days. I was spent. I was struggling with my own walk with the Lord. I had been going about 6 months straight, and it was like, I don't want to add anything onto my schedule, you know? And so I went and retreated up on the north shore of Lake Superior for about a week and spent some time with the Lord, and I appreciated some of the verses that the Lord showed me on forgiveness and His will for my life. I really like this. Follow on. I will follow on. Just the Lord's will, that's all. Just follow on. So then finally on Tuesday, I think I answered his second reply. Okay, yep, I'll come up. What's the best? And today was the best day. But I don't know about you, but I struggle with my own Christian walk. You know, it's not every day, it's not every week, but on a regular basis, it's like I get distracted. The modern electronics suck you right in, and pretty soon you're so far into this world culture and society, it's like, where am I? And you come up for air, and it's like, okay, I got to reorient. What can I walk by faith right at this moment? Everything else is screaming out at me. And it might not be immoral. It might just be Fox News or Facebook or tweet or Twitter or something, but it seems to distract us, me. And so here, I like this verse that we looked at all summer long at the mission. I will very gladly, that's a personal choice Paul had given over for the Corinthians, spend and be spent for your soul. 2 Corinthians 12:15. He was giving, he was serving, he was sacrificing. You know, even the Lord Jesus had to get apart for a while, go up into the wilderness and spend some time away from people. You know, and we all need time alone with our Savior, with His Word, with His truth, even though we're spending and being spent. And so I'm glad today that I can be here, spend some time with Dick and Kathy Model. I go back with them for 30 years almost. And so it's a real delight to see your faces, smiling, handshakes, hugs, welcoming. It's so comfortable to be here. It's a real atmosphere of grace and camaraderie and purpose. And so today, I'd like to talk first of all in just a little devotion about complete in Him. So if you'd now turn to Colossians, and we'll look at chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. We see this theme of complete in Him. Now I got to test this out. There we go. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says this, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you, believer, are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." We spent 6-plus days going over Colossians in Myanmar. So Pastor Sean and I taught most of it, and Mike had a lesson each day or so. And we were able to absorb or dive into and immerse ourselves in Colossians. And certain things seem to jump out. I've taught it maybe 5 or 6 times from verse 1 to the end of the end of the book. And this time, really it came out for me, you are complete in Him. Really? Yeah. How do I feel that? I don't. I believe it. I know it by the revelation of God's Word, and that I have known the gospel, believed on Jesus Christ, and now I have become complete in Him. My relationship with God cannot be improved as far as my standing because I am complete in Him. Now, what's interesting is it's kind of a sandwich here. It's like an Oreo cookie. And Jesus Christ is on both sides of us here. So He starts in this little smidgen or passage, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." That's Jesus Christ. It's talking about His deity. And you are complete in Him. Oh, and by the way, who is the head of all principality and power? It's like we are sandwiched right in there between Jesus Christ. We are complete in Him. Now that word for fullness of the Godhead bodily is pleroma. It means He is complete or fully God in all His essence. Jesus Christ. And so then He comes along, He says, you are complete in Him. It's a derivative of that word of pleroma, so that we are totally full in Him. Everything we can receive, we have because of Jesus Christ in our position. You know what that does? That takes off every burden we have to try and attain an acceptance before God. In the garden, when Adam and Eve took the apple and disobeyed and ate, passed it to her husband and ate, at that very moment, boom, separation from God. The curse came upon them. The world was never the same. But the moment we come to Jesus Christ in the gospel, that curse positionally is reversed. We come into perfect union with God again through Jesus Christ. This is what we understand and know and live by, so that then our Christian life flows out of this truth. Now, I have the privilege in Seward, Alaska and Whittier and on the ships to talk to thousands of people a year. Many of them profess Christianity. Over the last 10 years, I've been to many churches around the world. And do you know, hardly anybody understands their position in Christ. Praise the Lord, Pastor Sean preaches and communicates to you your position in Christ. But once you have that, you have complete acceptance. You are seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You are now perfectly full with Jesus Christ in your position before God. Now, this is very important for me because when I was young, I was highly criticized in the home. And I had this huge insecurity in my person and in my thinking. I thought I always had to strive to become accepted with my parents, with my friends, with this. When I came to understand I'm fully accepted, I'm seated with Jesus Christ, there's nothing I can do to change that nor add to it, it was this like relief. Wow, I can just be Scott Johnson. I can just be who God made me. I don't have to try and strive all the time. And when you come to this place here in Colossians, we're sandwiched right in the verse between Jesus Christ. And the emphasis there is on in Him dwells. So you could reverse this and you could say, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Him, and you are complete in Him. So here, the emphasis for us is, you are complete. Now, my marriage isn't complete. We're still working on that. We're still striving to improve our walk with each other. But my standing before Jesus Christ is complete. This is a time of the year where we watch athletes on the TV. They've got commentators all the time on every move they make off the field and on the field and everything else. They're never complete. Never. In fact, they'll get fired after the season if they don't do their job right. Lose their, $10 million a year or whatever. They're not complete. But you're complete in Jesus Christ if today you have received Him as your Savior by faith alone in Him. Now, to me, this is huge. And teaching it again in Myanmar really encouraged my heart. And so you can add to that and you can say and apply this, and, because, or for, you are complete in Him, and then you can apply it in your life. So the position isn't just to put it on the trophy case at home and say, ha ha, I'm complete in Him. Okay, now I'll do my own thing. No, this is now by which or from which we live. I am complete in Him, therefore, put it on the front side, because I am complete in Him, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So what I'd like to do is just take this little thought. This is a devotion time before I share some things about both Myanmar and Seward. I want to apply this in the text. So if you would, turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. And the whole section here is on Jesus Christ. And as I was looking at this, we can put in our new position in Him, our perfect, complete position in Him, attached to every statement about Jesus Christ. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is the exaltation part of Jesus, or of Colossians, to raise Jesus Christ up, so as we see how great He is and who He is, then we can understand our association with Him, and our life and our walk and our thoughts and our actions flow out of that association. And so He's lifting up Christ, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Yes! He is God, the Creator. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. He holds it all together. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence, first place, everywhere in my life. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, or having made peace through the blood of His cross. And so we can say this in verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, and you are complete in Him. Now, I like to apply it. I can't remember which song we were singing there, but it was second person. And I usually like to quietly sing first person. I. You, Lord. You. Here, you are complete in what? The deliverer from darkness and conveyed us. Puts us on the conveyor belt and brings us into the kingdom of the Son of His love through Jesus Christ. Then we can say, in whom we have redemption through His blood. He is the Savior, the one who died for us, the forgiveness of sins, and Scott is complete in Him. Now, what that gives you is security. What that gives you is a backbone to your Christianity. Nobody can criticize you, judge you, or critique you and take you out of God's acceptance. That's huge. That will affect your work. That will affect your marriage. That will affect your parenting. That will affect your service for Jesus Christ. When you know, I am totally complete in Him, every religious thought will bring you under condemnation. Why? Because it puts you back under a law system. Your fictitious law that you make up in your own mind, oh, I'm not doing enough, I'm not praying enough, I should be witnessing more, why don't I do this, why don't I do that? No. Thank you, Lord. I'm accepted in Christ. Now, from that, Lord, what do you want me to do? Follow you and share the gospel. Go up to IBC on Sunday morning. Do I have to, Lord? Okay. By your grace. And I'm delighted. But a week and a half ago, I was struggling. I didn't want to add more to my schedule. I'm already going to the Philippines. And then I have to turn around and this and this. And then what is it? It's introspective. No, Lord, I am complete in You. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He's the Creator. And you are complete in Him, Scott. Wow! My Savior, complete in Him. My Creator God. My Sustainer. All things were created through Him and for Him. And you are complete in Him. So you can just attach yourself to your Savior being complete in Him. Now that doesn't mean I'm co-equal with Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean I have a deified authority to walk. No, no, no. That means I am in perfect union and saved and accepted, and I have His life, which is eternal life, and now He is my all in all. If you would turn the page over to chapter 2, or maybe I guess it is here at the bottom of the page, chapter 2, verse 6. And it says this: As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Great passage. He starts to now teach how you should fulfill this great relationship with Jesus Christ. And he starts out by saying, walk in Him. How? By faith. So we can then put it on the front side. I thought to application. Because you are complete in Jesus Christ, walk in Him. It makes perfect sense now. See, when I walk by sight, I orient myself as an American. I orient myself as a male. I orient myself as a Minnesotan or now an Alaskan. I orient myself as a Swedish descendant on my father's side and an Irish on my mother's side. And you start to associate simply by this world, sight. Or if you're an accomplished business person or you're a successful athlete, you start associating yourself only there. But by faith, I am complete in Him. And because of this, I'm going to walk in Him by faith. I'm going to join close to Him in my walk with Him. In that same passage, because you are complete in Him, I'm again front loading it or putting a beware. Because you are complete, you're in the fullness of Jesus Christ, you will spend all eternity with Him, seated in the heavenlies. Beware, lest anyone cheat you over your phone or internet through philosophy and empty deceit, and not according to Christ. You can't find almost anywhere now that they're pointing you to Jesus Christ. They're scoffing Him. They're mocking the Bible. They're laughing at the simple principles of even sexuality. I'm a male. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. I got the chromosomes. You know, just that simple thing is being attacked. But you go back to, I know what the Bible says. I know what Jesus Christ says. I know that I am complete in Him, and no philosophy or empty deceit is going to take me away from You, Lord. That's my prayer. Please look over at chapter 2, verse 16. And he says here, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Now, because you are complete in Him, don't let anyone judge you with the Old Testament food, drinks, festivals, moons, Sabbaths. They were a shadow of things to come, but the substance, you know what that is? The reality. We've got a real substance up here now. We got a brand new system. This is substantial. It's the newest and latest and greatest. It has substance. In the spiritual realm, people want to put the emphasis on the shadows. There's no reality. So for thousands of years, they're looking forward to the coming Messiah, and they had festivals, and they had dietary laws, and they had clothing, and they had all these activities to be a separated people, but now, no, 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 the substance is of Christ. You know, this is a reality, because last night, Ohio and Wisconsin, wasn't much substance there, was there? It's passing! It's over! It's done! Now, thankfully, we just watched a little bit. The Vikings, substance? Well, maybe for... Thanks, Barb. Appreciate that. Just a little bit. Deer hunting? When my dad passed away, he had 4 massive racks that he had shot, mounted, and put on the wall. Anybody want it? We're all sitting around. Does anybody want to take those? No, I don't want them. No, thanks. There's no substance in them. Now, they're hanging at my house, 2 of them anyways. But at that time, they had substance to my father. The substance is Jesus Christ. I'm just picking on you a little bit, you know, you North Country hunters here. But the substance is of Christ and you are complete in Him. Now this gives me purpose. Because Jesus Christ, the Word of God and people are the substance that I will wake up on the other side of eternity. When I die and this body perishes and I'm transferred to the next realm, I say that in a way of description, when I go to the third heavens, the only substance there is Jesus Christ, the Word of God and people that I traffic in today. So what will we spend and be spent for? Lastly, look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you also will appear with Him in glory. I probably memorized this 32, 35 years ago. It's still powerful because it orients us to our new life. We've raised with Christ. We've died with Christ. Now we're raised with Christ. Therefore, the substance is of Christ. If then you were raised with Christ and you are now complete in Him, seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's a reality. That's a declarative fact right here. Because you are complete in Him. It's all based on my relationship with Jesus Christ. Not my performance. Not my track record. I look back on the last 38 years that I've been saved. Oh, I'd like to take back a lot of days. Oh, I'd like to take back a lot of months and a few years and do them all over again. But by the grace of God, I can look forward and say, Christ is my life. I'm complete in Him. I will be seated in the heavenlies. I have an inheritance in Him. All I have to look forward to, my hope, is in Him. And now may that affect my life. Colossians 3, 5 through 4:1 is all about your interdependent relationships on earth. And so you can say, because you are complete in Him, put to death your members, verse 5, which are on the earth. You go down to verse 15. Because you are complete in Him, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Because you are complete in Christ, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Verse 17, because you are complete in Christ, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Because you are complete in Him, wives, submit to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not provoke. 22, bondservants, obey. So at work, because you are complete in Him, obey your boss. Boy, that's a pretty complicated principle. How am I going to figure that one out, huh? It is so straightforward, it works in the villages of Myanmar. It is so straightforward, it works in the jungles of the Amazon, if they know Jesus Christ. And it works on the penthouses of New York, Manhattan. It's designed by God so that as we rest, I'm complete in Him. Now that can affect me in my every existence. So Colossians was a delight. Colossians was a lot of fun. I very much enjoyed with Pastor Sean and Mike in Myanmar in 2019. And what we tried to accomplish was Colossians 1, 28 and 29. Him we preach. So we were preaching the Word of God. They were there for 2 weeks. I stayed an extra week. And we were warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Colossians 1, 28 and 29. It was a delight to be there. We had a packed house at the church almost every day. It was overflowed. It exceeded our expectations. There was a dozen or so pastors there, and a lot of leaders and women, even a few children, but they very much responded positively to the Word of God. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support of Samuel. Thank you for your financial donations. I believe the Lord was greatly magnified. This was the last day. They wanted a picture with everybody, so we're sitting there up front with our name tags and everything. Don't be deceived. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord in Myanmar. It's amazing what's going on. I just called Samuel this morning on Facebook Messenger phone call. And he said, Minglaba! Hello! And I said, Hua Hua! So we talked, and he is on his way on a two-week excursion. Moshi is on a week and a half up in the mountains teaching Romans and some of biblical distinctions. So we're fulfilling the faithful men teaching other faithful men, and it's really been encouraging. Pastor Sean was teaching. There's our translator, Samuel. I don't know how much information you folks know about Samuel, but we've been friends since 2001 through Duluth Bible Church and then now Itasca Bible Church. He's been teaching the Word of God there when we're not there. He's been under many criticisms by Teaching Grace. Been banned from schools, banned from whole churches and denominations because he taught grace. And he's been faithful, and now he's training other men. But it's a different environment, a different atmosphere. You don't have what you have here at the grocery store. The ladies were all back with the chickens. They gather them at the market in plastic bags. They clean them all up. They cut them all up. This is right behind the church there in the kitchen. And then they feed them to us. It was wonderful. In the sense of, you go into a place where the Word of God is still the Word of God, even though the culture is totally different. And so we offered them something that they have struggled with for now generations there, because Christianity, when it was planted in Myanmar, didn't take off with grace. It just became another law-based system. And so here we're enjoying fellowship at lunch. We were treated very well. This is at Samuel's home here. And see behind there the hut. It's kind of bamboo woven. That's what he lives in. He's got concrete floor. He has metal roof, but he has woven, and he has to sleep under nets, mosquito nets every night, so they don't get bitten and malaria and things. But we really enjoyed ourselves, the fellowship, and with the other men of God there. When Pastor Sean and Mike came back, I went and taught a three-day series on Joseph, a short series on Job, and I went to this Bible school and was able to teach there a few lessons. This is Moshi, the one who just went up into the mountains. He's been with us since about 2004, Moshi, and he knows the Word of God very well. He's one of our translators. See that right between us? Yobi? That's Job. Yobi. And so Yobi had his trials and his difficulties, and so I taught there. And here's Samuel and his family. His sons are growing up now. Solomon has his... Samuel has his arm over Solomon. He's now 20, I believe. And then his wife Dorcas is on the other side of me. And then Jonathan is the youngest. He's 15. And then Nathan on the far right is now 17. So 17 or 18. I think they're 19, 17, and 15, if I'm not mistaken. Here's Moshi and his wife and two young children. Here's our hosts for the conference. The two ladies were very instrumental there, the smiling ladies there. They're very instrumental in getting us to come to this denomination. Convinced her husband, he presented to the leadership. She was at two of our conferences at another city and brought it. They run a school. They call it a tuition school, boarding school, where they prepare children for their matriculation classes. And so the girls sit on one side, the guys sit on the other, and I got to teach there several times. So after the men left, came back to the Promised Land here, I stayed in Myanmar and got to have some really open doors. It was really exciting. This is Sita. She was our server at the hotel. And 3 years now, I've been able to keep talking to her. She now has a Christian boyfriend, but she hasn't told her mother that because her mother's Hindu. And she has a Nepalese from Nepal background. And so I said, can I draw you a picture? So as she, and she says, oh yeah, I just have to stand by. That's what she does, serves. I was the only person in the restaurant in the morning. So for 45 minutes, I drew a chronological diagram from creation all the way up to today. And Sita, and I explained it to her. She says, no, this is very clear. I'm not positive if she trusted Christ or not. But again, it was an open door. When I left on Monday, Samuel had already started a new conference on Galatians at another church with the KBBC, Kachin Biblical Baptist Conference. And so they were excited about that. They kept growing numbers throughout the week. In fact, they asked him for an extra day. It was only going to be 5 days. Instead, he extended it to six. These are the materials that we had developed a long time ago for the GTC when we used it. That's the fight for Galatians, is the fight for the gospel and the fight for the grace of God. And those are illustrations there. Here's the church that they had gathered. And he said, this was Monday. And the numbers, he said, just continued. So that was a real, reason to keep supporting Samuel and the ministry. I came across this and I thought it was good in regards to Myanmar, in regards to our evangelism, in regards to our ministry. When the Bible says, do not lean on your own understanding, the Bible is being serious. Your heart is deceitful, your emotions fluctuate, your understanding does not see the overall big picture. God never lies. God never changes. God knows all. Trust Him. So we've gone into all the world, preached the gospel, we're preaching Christ, we're developing men who can teach, faithful men who can teach others, and it's working. Don't hesitate to support Samuel. As I told Pastor Sean and Mike, I said, he is our key in the country. Please pray for him. Please pray for his health. Now he's going for 2 weeks. Moshi's up in the mountains. He has some high blood pressure issues. He's a young man, but both of them have health-related issues. So please pray for these men of God and even the 8 Mile Bible Church where they're being sent out from. So it's really exciting. Now I'd like to share a few things about the Alaska Christian Ministry to Seafarers. I've been there for 7 years. Gave an update last year. I don't know how many were here last year. But really the same things are happening by the grace of God. Just like we are complete in Him by grace, we also are doing ministry wherever we are in the young people's with the choir and the song service for next Sunday. It's all by the grace of God. So I want to recognize that it's the Lord. Acts 14:27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together at IBC, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles or the seafarers. The seafarers ministry is a niche ministry to those who work on ships, mostly cruise ships in Alaska, but there's still a few cargo ships that come up there or tanker ships. But our ministry is primarily to the cruise ships, which is exploding. The industry is exploding. I don't know how many of you have taken cruises, but they're getting cheaper. They're offering everything that your desire would like on those ships. It's amazing. But we're in mostly Seward in Whittier 2 days a week and Anchorage on occasion. Okay? And people think Alaska? You live in Alaska? They think about igloos and Eskimos. No. I live in Alaska. It's really beautiful because that's the only place cruise ships go. Beautiful places. I haven't ridden a cruise ship yet. Shame on me, but I've been on a lot of them, but never thrown ropes and sailed. The Norwegian Jewel was there last year. We had the Millennium. We had the Silver Seas. We had the Radiance of the Seas. We had the Holland America trying to think, there was two of them there last summer, and the Roxers, Pastor Dennis and Nancy, sailed out of port, and this is the day they sailed out of port. Beautiful day. In June, they came up and ministered. And here was the first one of the season, if I remember right, Regent Seven Seas. And so you can see there in Seward, Alaska, it's a beautiful place, all shapes and sizes. This was a National Geographic Explorer ship, 115 guests, 200 crew members. They do all sorts of explorers, and we're able to go on board and share the gospel and pass out some material. Here's in the middle of June, we had forest fires. It's the first time in Alaska they didn't have any rain in the southern peninsula that we are on, and it had forest fires everywhere. It was terrible. And so we had to breathe in the smoke, and some people wore masks, and it was incredible. You couldn't even see the mountains for days. And I'll show you a couple pictures. They're right next to the mission. Here is our map that we scratch, have people scratch off their country and their location. 66 at least that we were able to catch and scrape off last summer. 66 different countries came to Seward Seamen's Mission, and we shook hands with, ministered to in some way, loved them. Not all heard the gospel, but it's really an amazing opportunity there. This is Seward. You can look down from, this is Bear Mountain, just south of the city. Looking down, that's the main part of the city. There's a little bit more housing up in the valleys, but this is Seward. That's it. And here's the mission, right in the centralized, the narrowest part of the city. When they bought this building, the Lord opened the door and they put it there. It is prime real estate location. And there are the cruise ships, right there, just across 1 mile transport back and forth. Nick Kerr says, I go as slow as I can to not have anybody with road rage around me so I can talk to them and share the gospel back and forth. So 1 mile, he's got it down. He can do it in 15 minutes, I think. But just for you fishermen, that's where we fish. 1.5 blocks from the mission. And then across the bay over there, we also fish salmon. When they come in. They come in schools, and they're here for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then they're gone, and you wait for the next school. Here's the mission at the base of the mountains. That's basically what it will look like when we get back, except for there'll probably be some snow on the ground. There you go, an early spring view right there at the base of the mountains. There's the summertime with the mountain race trail up behind us. The marathon race. My wife worked really hard, had some beautiful flowers with all the sunshine and heat. We had some just gorgeous flowers this year, and we're able to enjoy the beauty of the creation. Here's what it's going to look like when we get back, probably where the mountains are loaded with deep snow, and that's the door of our apartment you open up to right there. So we're really in a paradise, but our goal is not to enjoy the paradise aspect of it. It's to make a home away from home for seafarers. And by God's grace, people keep saying there's nowhere in the world like Seward Seamen's Mission. Now, my take on it is it's because it's a home. I went to 4 different Seamen's Missions last winter, and they were all institutions. They were very sterile. You had to sign in when you entered the place. We just come on in. They get welcomed, hugs, handshakes, smiles. Come on in, free Wi-Fi, coffee, tea, cookies. Here you can see some watermelon on the table. And they're enjoying it. They're enjoying it. Look at this picture here. This guy was in about middle of June or July. He's got his sandals off. He's just unleashed, in a sense, enjoying. When they relax, they seem to open up. When they are served like we are able to do, they seem to respond. And so our goal specifically is personal contact, witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And normally it is a one-to-one. We do have church services. But if you look at all the numbers, the large numbers, mostly it's one-to-one contact that we have. Just like you have with your neighbor or your coworker or the stranger at the grocery store. Materials, physical needs, all these we seek. And we try and go above and beyond. This was on the ships, and as our motto is to greet them all with a handshake and a welcome. And when they come in that door, we don't want anybody who slips in without a welcome. So we've got the people in the kitchen who are welcoming them then. And even in the van, sometimes the men will bring them in and say, this is so-and-so. He's from the Philippines. He's from Brazil. He's never been here before. He'd like to be shown around. Boom. Many gospel opportunities come from that. And our goal is what? To share Jesus Christ. To share the grace of God. I've said this before, but I'll share it here maybe again, is that a Filipino knows that there is a God. He is under the law and judgment. He respects the Bible, though he doesn't know much about it. And he has a terrible guilt. He walks around with all these. You present Jesus Christ and the grace of God and the finished work of Christ, and that it's faith alone, many, many trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. We don't keep a running exact number, but we try and record it. And it was somewhere between 200 and 300 people trusted Christ. It's closer to 300, but you know, you don't want to boast or sound, but it's just God kept opening doors, and we had some very effective evangelists last summer. This is our goal right there. Doing the fair diagram with this young man. That's Ginny Kerr, lives on the North Shore, attends Duluth Bible Church. And she was up for 6-7 weeks, and she was sharing the gospel right in the kitchen there. There's Allison right there in the front room with an Indian sharing the gospel. Do you think that guy's locked on? You bet. You bet. Allison is very skilled, so is Ginny, to share the gospel. Here we are, 8 of them sitting around the kitchen table. Their smiles tell it all. They're enjoying their time at the mission. They love getting their picture and putting it up on the board. We keep. If it's your home, you got pictures of yourself, right? So we try and take pictures, especially May, June, and July. Get them up on the board, the certain ships and everything. And they keep coming. I know that. That's my cousin. He works on another ship. Or things like that. This is our Alaska room. This gal was wearing one of our coats there, and she was enjoying it. That's Alaska right there. That's 3 or 4 miles from the mission on the river over there, up the valley. The bears usually don't come near the city, usually. But if they do, get out of the way. Don't ever think you can run faster than a bear. But like they say, just be able to run faster than your buddy. That's all. And again, this was an actual picture one of us at the mission took on our hike up in the mountains. So they're there, but God has angels around us. And so we don't walk in fear all the time. But I respect those bears. I am not going to try and take on a bear. This was posted at one of the entranceways onto the ships. I had to take that picture. Nothing is effective if you try and fight a bear. You need some firepower. That's what you need. So here's another. This is Pensery and Christina. And that's one of the Filipinos there from the ship. You can tell by the number of pictures that is later on in the summer. Here's a church service. There's your own Linnea up there and Allison. And, of course, Cassandra is there. She's been up for 3 years. These guys love to come and jam. They call themselves Christians. They're in evangelical churches back home. They have no assurance, almost, of their salvation. Of the 25 that I'll talk to in a week, maybe 1 or 2 will say, yes, I know I'm going to heaven. And when they say that, 1 out of those 2 will say, because I'm good. You know, but almost everybody, oh, I only got about an 80%, 50%, 20% chance. What time should I quit, Pastor Sean? 12 minutes? Okay, beautiful. This was the last of the summer. This ship, we had been on it and just having a great time on the ship, off the ship, with the people from the fellowship. And several of these men had trusted Christ. They had come and stayed late one day, and we fed the help pork chops. A month later, they were begging me, can we have pork chops again off the grill? Can we? So I went and bought all the pork chops. We fed 30 or 40 people with pork chops there on their last day in port. Love. Spend and be spent for their souls. They will remember that. Word gets out. We had an officer, a captain come. He says, I hear so much about your mission. I had to come. He brought his wife. He brought his kids. And he had to see what the mission was. These guys, they're barbecuing. their salmon that I gave them. They bought a bunch of steaks, and here they are having a great time out back. We had some baptisms. This is a Filipina gal, and she wanted to be baptized. So there's a little lake up back. Baptized her. She had all of her co-workers and friends there that joined us. We had a great time of bringing the glory of Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel, and what a beautiful day it was. And there we are back at the mission with all these people celebrating. It was a great time. We didn't have that many baptisms this summer. They kind of fluctuate, but it was a really enjoyable time. There's Linnea out front using her musical skills. She was very effective. I'm happy for she and what's his name, but I'm really sad. She was up there for two summers we were looking forward to, but as soon as he came and made an appearance, we knew the clock was ticking. There she is, surrounded by Filipinos and a young lady there, but they just love coming to the mission and enjoying the atmosphere, because on the ship, it's highly military. Everything is structured. You've got a boss, you've got this. It's just militant, because he can't put 66 different nationalities on a ship and function together without very strict rules and regulations. They come to the mission, they love it. Here we're cooking, preparing. Here we're serving out back. Here I thought this was a great thing. I hope you will be a missionary wherever your lot is cast. Promised land. For it makes but little difference, after all, where we spend these few fleeting years, the Lord's will. If they are only spent for the glory of God, be assured there is nothing else worth living for. Now, I inserted this. This is taken from a calendar that Jill Lachlan gave Beth and I when we moved up to Alaska. It's a missionary statement. This is Elizabeth Freeman, and she makes this statement. Well, I had a picture here of Per. That's a Swedish name for Peter. He's lived locally. He was a commercial fisherman. He has hardly any teeth. He's not very healthy. He married a native gal who has a false eye, who had a previous husband who abused her, and she lost her eye. And she would fish down at the fishing hole, and I got to know her very well. And she asked me to come talk to her husband, and so I ministered to them. This is about a four-year ministry, and I think Per got saved this last summer. He's 86 or 89. He read The Stranger through two times. He had questions. He always thought he was so bad he would go to hell. And here I met him on the walkway. This is along the coast there, and I just happened to be down there. His wife is between our shoulders with the pink hat. You can see her. I can't call her name right now. But we had a great opportunity again to confirm. And he says, oh, yes, I believe. I ended up moving them later on in the summer. Just ministering to them. They're locals. They're not even anywhere remotely associated with the mission. But by the grace of God, the Lord opened that door. Here's after a church service. Had a number of Filipinos. We have next to me over there is an Australian. And we have Indonesians there, and there is the mission music room, we call it. There's another Chinese gal there in front of the pictures who was very positive. I think Christina led her to the Lord. Here's some Indonesians. They would come later on in the day and enjoy the mission there. Here's a great story. These Chinese from the ship Orion came. 3 days and two nights they've been staying. It's a luxury ship. I don't know if anybody here can afford to go on that. It's $1,000 to $2,000 a day minimum. That's where it starts to go on this ship. Well, it's in port for 3 days. Never before in the history of Alaska has cruise ships come and stayed overnight on a regular basis. We got to know the fellowship leader right away. We had access. And these Chinese came. There was three of them. You can see one in the background. Nick is trying to talk to her. I had a great opportunity to sit down. She was wide open. I went through the stranger book just in outline form, and I drew out a chronological diagram for her. You can see on the far left is the other Chinese gal. She has a stranger in her hand. One wanted English, one wanted Chinese. So there we are with the diagram all done, went over it. I don't know that she's saved. It's a huge, they know nothing about Jesus. That's why I go chronologically for them. Here they are out front of the mission, those three Chinese ladies. Amazing. You know your labor's not in vain. You're sharing the gospel. I had to throw a picture in of Linnea and Josh. Literally, their muscles must have been sore. All they did was smile the whole time up there. Here's a couple of Europeans. Virginia, Ginny, she has such a soft personality and such a gentle, she's able to reach those really tough Europeans. They're really hardened over generations now of scoffing the Bible. I mean, they say Europe is burnt ground, is what Christian evangelicals say, because of what's going on over there. They listen to her. She shared the gospel. She believes at least one of them trusted Christ as their Savior. I think one was Ukrainian and the other one was like a Serbian or somewhere in there. Pastor Roxer, he was in seventh heaven. He would go from person to person sharing the gospel, and it was amazing. These two men trusted Christ. Ginny and my wife each had a chance that day to share the gospel with them. Here's Pastor Roxer with a lady there. I don't know if she trusted Christ, but I know he shared the gospel with her. Here was one of our later crews. Had a variety of volunteers that were coming up. A lot of experience there. And here was a service up in Whittier. There's two Italians. They're on the outside there. Both of them are mechanical Italians. And they work in the mechanical area and they're Italians, which is very unique. They're not usually open to dialoguing. The man on the far right, I believe, got saved or got assurance of salvation this summer. And then one of the crew leaders has the guitar in his hand there. Tony Shannon led this young man to the Lord up in Whittier. Here's another church service that Pastor Roxer and Nancy were a part of. There's a number of nationalities there represented, from Filipino to European to American, I believe, and Australian. And so it was great. This man was a musician on the ship. My wife was spending time with him. They just love to interact in a casual way with normal people. Because on board, they're very, very restricted in their interaction with anyone but the crew members. In many cases, what God wants is not a money contribution, but a personal consecration to His service abroad. Or the giving up of a son or daughter, more precious than silver or gold, to His service. No amount of money can convert a single soul. What is needed is that men and women filled with the Holy Spirit or Ghost should give themselves to the work. Hudson Taylor, China Inland Mission. So very, very good perspective to keep in mind. Another service here, there's Allison at the piano. We have three guitars there, I believe it was. And so it's just great. This is the beginning of the Orion. I'm just going to show you a few pictures. We played soccer. These are South Americans and Europeans. Cassandra's in the middle. I took the picture. We had 4-on-4 at one time, 5-on-5. We played soccer. Look at that view. These guys talked about it for the rest of the summer. They ordered supplies. And I learned, do not become an Amazon distribution center. Okay? Don't. They had more stuff, but, you know, next year we're going to limit it. This was a young lady from Tanzania, I believe. She was a cook. She was a believer in Christ. She had strong conviction. She was a part of the Orion Fellowship. Here's the Orion Fellowship leader, Rio, and the young man on the far left there shared the gospel with him. He got saved. He was baptized. I can't pull his name out. Shame on me. But we bicycled all over town one late afternoon, all over the city. We arranged basketball for the crew. We shared books for them on board. We were on board 3 days in a row, which is amazing. They became comfortable with us. Everybody on the ship knew who we were. This was amazing. This is Walter. I don't know where he got that or where it came from, but Rockstar Roxer there. But there's Walter on board. You can see I'm drawing some diagrams while he was eating lunch on the Orion ship. There's the crew fellowship. A bunch of them were part of the fellowship. This is Ariel, the guy taking the picture. And you can see there's materials out on the table. Pastor Roxer was sharing the gospel. And then I got to have a church service late at night, 11 at night, after they fed us dinner. They were so thankful. The human resource said, we're going to invite you on the first day of the new cruise, and you can go to their what they call specialty restaurant, and they served us there, all the crew members that were there. You can see Linnea wasn't enjoying herself, but the rest of us were. There we are in our formals. We dressed up, and afterwards, we had a church service. It was amazing. It was really amazing. Got to baptize this man. There's Rio, and I want to say Ardell, but I'm not positive. Baptize him again over there in the lake. It was just a great time, just a great joy. Again, church services, people love this. And guy in the middle name is Billy. Led him to the Lord 2 years ago. A year ago, he said he was getting married. This year, he shows up, and I go, how's marriage? He goes, ooh, shh, don't talk about that. So something happened. He didn't get married, and I don't know what happened, but he really enjoyed. There's a typical afternoon. We got to clean the vans, do work. Here's Nick Kerr, shared the gospel many times. The guy had an excellent opportunity, led a number of people to the Lord. He tells the story of the guy he was talking with from 2 weeks previous in the music room, and there was an Indian watching him, and he was smiling. And after he was done, he went over and talked to the Indian. He said, yeah, I'd love to hear about how to go to heaven. After he witnessed to him, the guy said he's 100% sure, and he showed him his phone. He says, for the last 2 hours at the mission, I have been searching on my phone how to know you can go to heaven. That's the Lord. Amazing. So Nick had a number of opportunities, and he would give them an How to Grow booklet after they trusted Christ as their Savior. Or, I'm saved, now what? That guy was probably... The thing is, Nick worked so hard, he had a huge heart attack at the mission. And no, I'm not saying that. He had symptoms way before he came up there. But he spent 3 or 4 weeks up in Anchorage, and he had blocked arteries, had some minor heart attacks. Thankfully, he's still with us. And had some bypasses put in, and praise the Lord. Cassandra also had a major health scare there this summer, but thankfully the Lord was gracious. And of course, I had to show a few fishing pictures. That's the early morning fishing picture there. Pastor Roxer and Nick caught some there. We had a very good, even Linnea had to put a picture in there. There we are from across the bay. We had a good day there. And all these fish were fed to the seafarers. A lot of them came home. There's a few in there. I think even the director went fishing once or twice there. That's a king salmon, about 25 pounds. So it was a good summer, very good summer. Cassandra was one of our specialty cooks there. She wrapped up and sewed up the fish, cooked it on the grill. The seafarers love that stuff. A few halibut there. That's from a charter boat down. We had some halibut, some smoked salmon. We ended up with a smoker this year, took advantage of the smoked salmon. And then we feed the crew members. All four of these guys heard the gospel from us. The guy in the middle is a Filipino. The others are from India. And the Filipino was super charismatic. It was hard to talk to him. But the guy standing there with the red hood there, lining, I can't remember his name. He got his assurance, and he was so excited. He said, just sit down. Just teach me the Word of God. I need to know the Word of God. Another church service there. This is a vagabond stopped by. She was a drug addict. She wanted some things and help from the mission. We shared the gospel with her. It was in the middle of the summer. We don't house people. There's a fun picture. As the ship was sailing, we ran down and had a fire and roasted some bratwurst there in front of the ship as it left. And so it was just a really awesome, really trip this summer. This is Benito. He heard the gospel. Then he told me I need to talk to his friend. His friend was a pastor's son, a Baptist pastor's son from Philippines. And I said, so what are your chances of going to heaven? Oh, I don't know, 50%. So why should you go? Oh, because I read the Bible and I pray and I'm good. And an hour later, he was saved. And then 2 weeks later, I shared with them my marriage diagram. This is a diagram that I go over on marriage. And you see those earplugs in? He had his wife on the internet. She listened in to the whole thing. I didn't even know it till we were halfway done. And I emphasized salvation there with the diagram. This man came up to me and said, you've got to help me. I'm Roman Catholic from Indonesia. I'm the leader of the Oikumene. That's the spiritual group on the ship. He says, but I don't know. I was Roman Catholic, and now these praise songs and everything encouraged me, but I just don't know if I should go to the Roman Catholic or this. I said, well, let me back up here, share the gospel diagram with him, complete assurance of salvation. Joko is his name there. I can see. This is Trust Lord, and this is, I forget, Indonesian guy. He got saved 2 years ago. Trust Lord got saved when he was a young boy in South Africa. And I asked him, is it hard on the ship as a Christian? He could quote Bible verse after Bible verse. Raised by a missionary. Parents died at 8 years old. He goes, no, it's not hard. Everybody thinks it's hard, but I just live the same I do every day on the ship. Yeah, but you know the Word of God. Oh, yes. You know how to walk with the Lord. That's the thing. So there we are. More opportunities, more pictures. This is a fellowship group. This was one of the entertainers. They came to the mission every week. They loved it. They took materials. They joined. They heard the gospel. The guy with the bow tie, red bow tie, he wasn't very open, but the others were very open. There we are on the ship, drawing diagrams during the church service. This was a leader. We gave him a tambourine. This gal, just more and more faces of opportunities. There's our table of materials on the ship. Those are all the spa ladies coming from Africa and from Philippines taking materials. The chefs came down. This guy's from Brazil. There's a Muslim group on the ship that's taken right from the ship picture. So we ministered on those ships. Very difficult, because the Muslims expect everybody to go the way they do. But anyways, one of those guys right in the middle has heard the gospel many times. So there's the ice cream ladies. There's the head chef up there. There's the engine room guy whose dad used to be on the ship. There's the guest services. There's the crew fellowship. Do you see a bald guy in the back there? Pastor Roxer got to share the gospel on the ship. I should have said young guy, huh? And then my last picture, this is Green, we called him, Grinaldo. And he was a bad boy who chased down a Christian girl, and he got saved, and he was 40 years old. He's 55 right there. And now he's the leader on board, and it was just amazing testimony how the Lord spared him. He should have been dead over and over. He's a drug dealer, involved with burglaries and gangs in Philippines and everything. And the Lord spared him, and now he's just passionate about getting out the gospel. So, a couple minutes over. What's new, right? So, please pray for us as far as the ships, as far as more ships this year than last year. Last year was more ships than ever before. So, it's really exciting. It's really spending and being spent. But in light of eternity, it's worth it when you're thinking right. So, pray for us as a director, my wife. Please pray for the new people coming to the ships, because they take contracts. And between now and May, they'll be getting on board these ships. And it's amazing how the Lord handpicks these people and brings them. And they say, I should have never been in Alaska. I should have been in a European ship. But at the last moment, they changed me and transferred me here. And they get saved. They hear the gospel. So do you want me to pray, Pastor? Do you want me to? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Sitting on your throne of grace, you just give us and give us. And our position in Christ is spectacular. Thank you for our standing before you, accepted in the beloved, complete in him. Thank you for the work you are doing in IBC, in the lives of these people, in Nehemiah, in Samuel, in Moshe, in their families. We pray for them, Lord. We ask that you would guide and direct, and even with your will to be done. Pray for Seward, Whittier, Anchorage, these men and women coming on the ships, that you would just bring strong Christian leaders in the fellowship, that we could partner with them, get on board, share the Word of God, share the gospel with these people. And pray for strength, Lord. As you know, it's testing to our physical abilities. And so we just pray for that. But most of all, that your name would go around the world, because Jesus Christ is proclaimed. He's being preached. Your word is shared. And even make us more and more effective, I pray, Lord. And we entrust these things to your care. And again, thank you for this church, for Pastor Sean and the leadership and the families here. And may they strive together for the faith of the gospel, for the glory of your name, and even the reaching of the lost. So we thank you now, we love you, and we commit this to your care. In Jesus' name, amen.